Let's stand together. Just bow our heads. We open the service. Precious, precious Lord Jesus. Yes. Hallowed be thy name. Yes. Oh God, you're so wonderful to me. To us, Lord. Lord, we stop and look and think of all that you've done. Lord, the blessings of yours. Lord, it's nothing we've earned or deserved. Father, we can't even do things that we think we do on our own sometimes. But your grace, we have health and strength. Lord, it's all you. We do appreciate it. Father, we gather here tonight. Bless us. Father, as we sing songs, Father, and hymns, Lord, that settle our spirits, Lord, clear our minds. Father, leave the world and the cares away. Lord, may we just meditate on your word. And as it comes, Lord, may you grant to us understanding. We thank you now, Lord. Have your way in the service. We'll give you the glory and the honor in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Come with me if I'd like to sing in our only believe books. Amen. Start with page 206. Pass me not, dear gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble
while on earth thou art called.
Corinthians 2:17. Amen. It is no secret. Saints, what he can do for you. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have long or at its ring your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for
he's done for us, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you.
Some of the things he can do for you in your life. Amen. Page 257. Let's see. There is a river that flows deep within. Have you been to the river, saints? Flowing free. Hallelujah. There was a thirsty woman who was drawn. Her soul. Songs, Lord, and how it takes our hearts and our minds back. Lord, Calvary, and what you've done for us, the price you paid when we couldn't pay the price. Lord Jesus, that you come down willingly. Oh, Father. are so thankful. Lord, we pray that you would just bless and touch each and every hand that was raised. Lord, you know the needs upon the people's hearts. Father, we ask that you would just touch them, everyone. Lord, may they feel grateful in their heart to be able to come and to testify of your goodness and what you've done for them. Lord, we never want to be like the lepers that walked away, but Lord, the one that came back and said thank you. For truly, Lord, we see it's only your grace that we even breathe, Lord. It's your grace, Lord, we have strength and health in this day of sickness and diseases, Lord. Your wonderful mercy. Have your way now, Lord, in the remainder of the service. And you get the glory in everything we ask in your precious name. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Do you have a song tonight, Karen? I ask if you'd come. stand together, if you will, and sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask yes. our brother to come.
Only believe. Oh.
Precious Lord, we just want to say thank you for the opportunity to gather into this little place that you've prepared for us. Father, we're just so thankful to be able to, from our hearts, Lord, feel that burning that, Lord, I believe in your precious word. And Father, we just come tonight humbly to renew our minds and to open up these pages, Lord, and to have you stir our hearts. Father, just praying that through these way of the words that I will read, it will strengthen and encourage whatever is needed in our lives, Lord, that would cause us to be better soldiers for you. And Father, one never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Isn't he wonderful?
Yes,
he Amen. Is. It's good to be back home and thankful for the opportunity that we've got. It's cold outside and snowy, but thank the Lord we got heat in here. Amen. While you're standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles over to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Amen. Just a little thought come on my heart, and pray that I would share it, and praying that you'll be able to take something from it and get through some scriptures and some quotes and some things. But here in Isaiah 66, as you're just thinking about these things, but Isaiah 66, and we'll just read the first and second verse. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. a little small word, but you just, to him that trembleth at my word, you know, and I just was thinking about these things, and was thinking some of the things the prophet had said, and, you know, you see things going on throughout the land, we see what's shaping up, we know the soon appearing of the Lord is at hand, and we see what we've been given by God's grace. A precious prophet came and brought the mysteries forth and tied up all the loose ends that a little bride would be ready to be raptured and to be caught away. And and how that little lady is waiting in love and waiting on that husband to come. And I was, you know, as you think about the little example Brother Branham gave of the little woman that the man told her he was going to marry, kind of told the little story. And how she waited a whole year. And they told him he wasn't coming. And yeah, he's not coming back for you. But she stood ready. Had her garments ready. Had her bags packed. Just waiting for that day. Making sure everything was ready. She didn't want to be caught unaware when he showed up. She wanted to be ready. And I pray that's what's burning in our hearts. Is, Lord, we want to be ready. Every day we're looking for what he wants in our hearts and in our lives. And if you would, I'm going to turn over here to Luke, the 16th chapter, and just read a verse of Scripture. If you want to turn with me, you can. Yeah. Something Jesus speaking here, and then... But as you think about is getting into what we're, you know, kind of looking at the Scriptures and things we're going to talk about this evening, this kind of stands out to me in Luke 16, in the 10th verse, and Jesus saying... Oh, I didn't go far enough. I apologize. Amen. Luke 16, 10. He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And you know, if you look at the study Bible, the Scofield and different things, it kind of breaks that down to he that's faithful in the small things will be faithful in the big things, so to speak. And how is we see the age in which we're living, and you see so much of everybody wants to do great things. Everybody wants to see miracles, and everybody is looking in a rearview mirror. And they're looking back to what was. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's miracles happening today. There's all kinds of these things taking place. But so many times people look back and get satisfied to want to live in a time that was, when that time was only leading to a better and greater time. And you know, you can see it down through history. If you even look at the natural of mankind, how, you know, the first person that had a good old horse and a plow trying to plow a garden, and the first guy come along with that old gasoline powered machine to try to make his life better, he wasn't even interested, you know. But as time unfolded and in the natural that unfolded out, they begin to realize, wow, this is what we're looking for. And it's this, in the spiritual, it's just that much more magnified. God has been unfolding himself down through time, and he started way back in the beginning. And as we see where we're standing today, I don't want to look back, but I'm looking forward to the promise that was to come. Yes. And when you see that, how much greater should we be looking to the Word in its fullness? But so many just get so focused to one thing. And so their attention's just drawn to a portion of the Word. Yes. But if you would, let's just turn on over here to, let's go to Revelations 22. Let's just do that first. Yes. Revelations 22. And I know sometimes when we turn to Revelations 22, we only read the last little bit of the chapter. But I want you to back up with me here, and we're going to read... start here about the sixth verse in Revelations 22, and just capture this into our hearts. "And he saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But as you just kind of to capture the few points there, as he was going down through, and he said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to tree of life. In verse 7, he said, behold, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. How important this book should be in our lives. Amen. And you know, God sent a prophet to point us back to this book. Mm-hmm. And so many times, people have tried to go on and they want to forget what's laying in here. Mm-hmm. And this is the foundation. This is where it all lays. Yes, it is. You can't have this alone. It takes the whole word of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in Luke 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen. And you know, as you think on these things, you see it taking place, and you see people have, we've had the message so long, and some know it so well. Mm-hmm. And they're living in a time and a space that sometimes they forget the little things, we might call it. We forget the foundation that God laid. We forget where he started and added to. He didn't do away with. He just kept building. And he built us to a place to where we would be a perfect bride of Jesus Christ, washed in his blood, standing in his righteousness. If you would turn back with me now to Matthew, the fifth chapter. And Jesus, as he began one of the very first sermons, and this is, as I was thinking about these and reading these things, and I got to reading some definitions and reading on some things, I thought it would be good for us to just think about these things, refresh our hearts, and to remind ourselves, and I'll get to a couple quotes Brother Branham said, but must we never forget that without him, we're nothing. Amen. You know, oftentimes, men get puffed up in themselves, people get puffed up in themselves, and we can rise to a spot to where we feel we're sufficient, we don't need God, we don't need anything, we've got what we need. But the minute we forget that we need him every day, every moment of our life, we begin to fail. And how is Jesus begin to speak here? I think he was starting the foundation of, as he said, the law and the prophets were until John, and then grace came. But he just built upon all that was contained within that law and just magnified it under grace. Think about how great he is. Amen. But we'll just start here at the fifth verse. And seeing the first verse of the fifth chapter of Matthew, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was sad, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And simple words, simple verse, one little verse, blessed are the poor in spirit. And you know, do we stop to think about that in the kind of the context and to think about it? And as I was thinking about this, this question had been asked Billy Graham. And I liked his answer, and I went back and looked at it with the prophet's answers and the way the prophet had things put together. And I'd like to read to you his answer to kind of think, to kind of build upon that poor in spirit. But the question was asked Billy Graham. He says, what does it mean to be poor in spirit, as Jesus said we ought to be? I don't understand this, because it seems to me that we ought to strive to be rich in spirit, not poor. Am I missing the point? And his answer is, your conclusion is understandable. After all, the Bible does warn us against being empty and impoverished in our souls, and urges us to seek spiritual riches instead. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. But Jesus also said, there is another kind of spiritual poverty, one we should seek. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What did he mean? Simply, we must be humble in our spirits. If you put the word humble in place of the word poor, you will understand what he meant. Yes. In other words, when we come to God,
we must realize our own sin and our spiritual emptiness and our poverty. And we must not be self-satisfied or proud in our hearts, thinking we don't really need God. If we are, God cannot bless us. The Bible said God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, James 4:6. Pride can take all kinds of forms, but the worst is spiritual pride. Often the richer we are in things, the poorer we are in our hearts. Yeah. Have you faced your own need of Christ? And do you realize that you are a sinner in need of God's forgiveness? Don't let pride or anything else get in the way, but turn to Christ in humility and faith, and he will bless you. I thought it was kind of fitting to think about what he said, and the prophet many places expounded upon it. But I just, as you think about these things, are we truly humble in our spirit? Are we truly poor in spirit? And knowing that in Isaiah, this God will look to us a contrite and humble spirit, and a one that trembleth at my words. Yes. And as we, all of God's words, not picking and choosing, but truly looking into God's word and laying open before it and saying, Lord, I need you every day. I need more of you and less of me in every place as we stand. And he goes on to say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And if you look up meek, it says enduring injury with patience and without resentment. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And seeking after God's law, divine law, looking to be morally correct and in tune with what God has. Yes, amen. I wonder sometimes if we get so focused on, sometimes you see so many get so focused on things that they think are big things and great things that they're so far worried about trying to make sure, was it this way, was it that way? As Jesus put it to the scribes and Pharisees, sometimes you, in your traditions of worrying about washing the pots and pans, you make the word of God of none effect. Yes. And how, if we can just stay humble before God and truly look at his word and say, Lord, I don't care about nothing else but to see you revealed in me and to see that life made manifest through this body. And he goes on, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And you can be persecuted for the way you dress. You can be persecuted for the way you feel. You don't put no makeup on. You don't cut your hair. All of these things that is laying in God's word, the foundation. So many want to ridicule, or it's not necessary. Your dresses don't need to be long. They can be short. You can wear this, you can wear that. Why do you do that? That's not in the word. Because they don't take the full word and look back. They're looking in a rearview mirror, looking at something in another example. And as you look in the church age book, I didn't bring it with me, where Brother Branham said they quit doing what they used to do and started doing what they wouldn't do. It kind of paraphrasing a little bit. I didn't have it quite exactly the way he put it, but you know what I'm talking about. He says, rejoice in to be so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Yes. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Yes. And we have been given an opportunity to surrender ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, which is a reasonable service. And to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind,
to the full word, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How we, as you think about this, how our light should shine, how our lives should shine to all of each and everyone around us, and how we should truly want to look back into this word and not feel like we get ourselves lifted up, but always look back to see how small we could be. You know, Brother Branham, that was many, many places, and even through the scriptures, James and Peter, talked of humility and to humble yourself down, and Christ will lift you up. Making sure that we don't get puffed up in ourselves, but to hold ourselves in check with God's word. Amen. Being ever mindful that without him, I am nothing. Amen. Without him, I can do nothing. Amen. And if anything that's good that's in my life is not me, but it's Jesus Christ living through me. Amen. And oh my, how I need him every day. More every day as we sing the little chorus. But here, if you would, here, and turn over to Matthew 6. And just catch a few more things Jesus was saying here. Is when you think about the foundation, you see so many people get caught up so much in the cosmos of the world and what's going on around us, and trying to gain and to set up their retirements and trying to get so built up and what they can have. Nothing, like I said, if your motive and objective is right, you do what you have to. You never know when we're getting older what we have to do for retirement, but it's, God looks upon our heart. He knows what our desire is and what our motive and objective is. And he knows where our hearts are. But this is, as Jesus began to speak here in 19th verse, 6th chapter, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And drop down to about the 25th verse. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which the day is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. But seek ye the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Amen. What a consolation to know, if I'm seeking first the kingdom, he'll make sure all of my other needs are supplied. I've got no worry, I've got no fret. Just to rest in his plan, he will take care of us. But how we, sometimes we get in ourselves so much, sometimes, and we want to try to do things ourselves. We want to try to fix things, but we got to learn to trust and to yield to him. He knows what's best and the time and the place for us, each and every one. So don't get in a rush. Just be patient and wait. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. And by God's grace, I pray, I can only speak for myself, but I've been called to his purpose. I pray each one of you can say the same, and that should, what a consolation it ought to put in our hearts. Amen. But you've heard these quotes very often, but as you're just thinking about where we are and what God's given us, how we should always remember, Brother Branham, I went back and looked, and right after Brother Branham, it was probably right before he brought the seals that he started really mentioning this. And then after the seals came out, all the way up through, he really, in quite a few different messages, he really struck on this a little bit, and you'll recognize it as I begin to read. But this was in Influence, and this was preached January the 12th, 63. So this would be before the seals. And
down just about halfway a paragraph 175, he says, "Now notice and always listen. Be conscious of your littleness. Who are you? Stick your finger in a bucket of water and pull it out and find the hole you put your finger in. And then say, that was me, you're nothing. You'll not be missed after. A little while after you're gone, they'll have a funeral procession out here and that's all. But your influence will live on and on and on." And that's why today, in the midst of the infidels, they've never been able to explain and to get away from the influence of one man, Jesus Christ, who was God made flesh. When he stuck his life down here on earth, it made a suctional place that draws all men unto him. And in that great whirlpool of his life that once was on earth, you can't get near it without being drawn into it. But you and I, we're nothing. We're nothing. Let's think what is drawing us. And my little boat up on the sea of time don't mean nothing. But that great thing that's drawing me, it's what I'm trying to point to. That is it. Oh yeah, good. Be conscious of your littleness. And how it just, when you think about the life of how attracted the life of Jesus Christ was at the time he was here. Look at the life of Christ being made manifest through the prophet in this last age. And look at the draw that it had to people. And look at what that same God in you will make you the salt of the earth and a light that's set on a hill, a candle that can't be hid. And oh, what a glow it'll put out. What a warmth. And what a draw it'll have to people when they see something that's real and different and holding to a truth of God. In the message Influence, this was preached November 14, 63. It'll be after the seals. And Brother Bram's kind of saying along the same lines. He says, notice, then we find when John humbled himself in the presence of God. The thing of it is, people, my brother, sister, friends, is to be conscious of your littleness. Don't be conscious of how big you are. Be conscious how little you are. Yes. You're small. We're all that way. God can do without us, but we can't do without him. See, we can't do without him, but he can do without us. God is only trying to find one person he can get in his hands. He's always tried to do that, you notice, all down through the Bible. When he found Isaiah, when he found a Jeremiah, and then he found Samson. But one day Samson gave his strength to God, but he gave his heart to Delilah, see? You've got to give your all to God, your reverence, your respects, your everything that you are. Just be nothing. Just see how little you are and what God wants to do. That's real humility, he said. And as we see what God has given us, and as revelation, as he's opened up our eyes to be able to see the truths of the word and to see where he's brought us from and where he's taken us. But are we conscious that it's him and not what I've done in myself, not what I have achieved, not where I can get to, but it's only his grace and mercy that he has shown me the way or opened up my eyes to see where I am today. And I may not see as much as I need to see yet. And so that's why we must stay little and humble and always have our hearts open and asking God for revelation and understanding of his word. That even the scriptures, the simplest scriptures, we might know them. We might have read them. That's why I used what I did. That seems so simple. You may say, well, that's what they would teach in Sunday school. That's all they would read, or that's what they would bring. But it's so powerful that if that kind of life is truly being expressed through you and through me, you can't do that in yourself. You can't have that type of a life. And Brother Branham here in the message, God's only provided a place of worship. This is preached November 28th, 1965. Let me see here. So as we had read the scriptures kind of talking about how to do all thy commandments, and this is going to kind of flow in line with that. Paragraph 95, he says, all right, you don't have to take God's way about it. You go on out where they do that, see, and you'll find out it's in the scripture. In vain do they worship me. Jesus spoke of the same thing, see, yes. That every little jot and everything you must be faithful in. It's always the little vine, the little fox that spoils the vine. Sometimes you leave. It's not the big things you do. It's the little things you leave undone. Remember, a chain is only its strongest as its weakest link. And blessed are they that do all the commandments of God, that they might have a right to enter in. Do all God said. If it's said for women to have long hair, and you say, a man told me long ago, said, and just catch this for just a moment. It just stuck out to me. I've read it many times, but it just seemed to stick out a little bit different to me. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, so many people, and we've seen it go both ways, of how women should dress, how men should conduct themselves. We've seen it turn into trying to be a dogma and a creed. They went over and above what God's word said. And we've seen where they won't go far enough and created their own creed and dogma. Yes. But God's word is the center line, and it's right down the line, and it's here. You don't have to come ask my opinion. You don't have to go ask your pastor's opinion. All you got to do is open up this Bible, read what it says, and go read what the prophet said. You'll find an answer to it. And so I like how he put this, and it just kind of jumped out at me. Maybe it's just for me, but I thought I'd share it with you. So just think about it. He says, it was said for women to have long hair. And you say, a man told me not long ago, said, I don't preach a clothesline religion. And I said, then you're not preaching the gospel. Brother Branham told him, he said, you're not preaching the gospel. God laid it out there and said what to do. You either do it, that's your natural, reasonable thing to do. What little thing? What little insignificant? Jesus said, blessed are they that would take all the little things and do the little things. And a woman to let her hair grow, that's why it's just something she can do, and she won't even do that. She won't even do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, teach us great things. How can you teach great things when you won't do the simple, common thing? Yes. Because you see, your motive and your objective is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's your love to God. Lord, I don't care what you want me to do. I'm willing to do it. Then you're getting somewhere. Yeah. But if you don't do it that way, he said do it. It's his choosing. And that's the place I've chosen, and that's where you worship with your sacrifice. So I want you to, I just thought it was, you know, when you think about it, the little things. You know, everybody wants to just say, that's just, oh, that's gone. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. But what does God's word say? Amen. From beginning to end? And you know, when it's got so bad in this day, and maybe that's the reason it stuck out to me, is people use that very thing. We don't preach a clothesline religion. I've heard that statement. And when you think of what God's prophet said and then where it's at in the word, the little things. And if that's just one example, what about all the other little things that I might have overlooked or forgot to make sure I got a hold of because I was looking for a big thing? So it pays to always be mindful and to go back and to look for the little things that I might have overlooked. And to make sure that my life is conformed in every aspect, not to some word, but to every word that lays within this book. Amen. I pray that's burning in our hearts greater as each day goes by. Yes. As I see more and more, I just pray, Lord, let my life shine forth with your glory. Don't let me be a candlestick in myself that I think, boy, I've got a bright light and I've sure got it all. No. But Lord, let this humility of your word shine forth through me, that my life will speak louder than any word I can say. As Brother Smith always quotes, preach always and use words when necessary. May our life truly be written epistles, read of all men. And oh, we can only do that as we truly see in humility that we need him. Lift him up and let him be the one. Exalt him, and in due time, he'll use you where you're needed. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. If you would, turn it with me over to Second Peter, rather. Amen. Second Peter. In the first chapter, and we'll read here at the fifth verse. Actually, let's back up and catch starting at the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Amen. I pray that if nothing else, we just take a little extra thought tonight of, Lord, how little am I? Amen. How much humility do I have? And Lord, am I truly standing at your beck and call that, Lord, you can use me when you see fit? Whatever you need, Lord, I'm here. And I just want to be found, Lord, in the center of your will. But I want to be found with this word being made live and real in my heart and in my life. Amen. To every passerby that goes by. And you know how we should truly take into all account all the words Jesus said. I think so much, you know, where he even said, if you offend the least of these. And as we fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and as we fellowship with one with another, how careful we should be with each other. And, you know, as I weigh my own life, how careful we should watch our speech, how easy we can say things that hurts or we wish we could would have never said, and how we should be careful. But those are the little things. Yes. But if we'll build upon that foundation, it'll be like the wise man that built his house upon the rocks. The storms will come, the winds will blow, but it'll hold and it will not fall. But oh my, if you fail to build the foundation and to study the little things in our hearts and in our lives and to make sure that we're checking up with God's precious word and looking in that mirror, all will be like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand and the great was the fall of it when the storms come.
Yes.
But oh, I pray we continue just to let him have his way in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Yeah. You know, you don't know how thankful you can be for a little house down in the hills to maybe you go away for just a little bit. But you know, sometimes it's good to see what God has done for us and doing for each one of us. Yes. And where he's brought us from. And you know what he's opened our eyes to by his grace. It's only his mercy and grace. You know, we've all walked a path in God's channel. We can look at our lives. We can look at many of our loved ones and say, why are they in the shape they're in and why am I here? It's only God's grace.
Yes.
It don't make me better than them. It don't make me bigger than them. And I just pray that one day God will shed his grace and mercy, if they be his will, for those that I may be able to see is not able to see what God has prepared and God's plan, and to truly realize that this alone is the absolute, and that alone points us to where we're headed. And it's piloting our ship right where we're headed. Amen. But I pray God will continue to help each one of us to be that candle that's set on a hill. Let your light shine, and to make sure that light is shining forth his glory and not my own actions, my own ideas, my own agenda, but shining forth for his glory. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Wonder if you'd turn with me in this little capstone book we got here over to page 10 and sing this little chorus. Page 10.
Oh, there will never be a sweeter story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Oh, isn't the love of something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Oh, boundless as the universe around, to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love it was that found me, and that is is why my heart can truly say, oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful,
thinking about all the things our brother was mentioning tonight. And you know, to me, at least this is what I can see, you know, it's as we get closer to the appearing of the Lord, to me, I believe we'll see grace even greater, mercy even greater. And, you know, because you're seeing more all the time what God has done for you, what He's doing for you, what He's where you're at in His great plan, and having eternal life. And yet with all this that's going on around us, and yet there's something that started out in your heart when you was young even. That draw, that pull of the Holy Spirit drawing, that is so amazing. Because when you talk to people all day long, you see people all day long, and it's just not there. You can begin to talk about the Lord and then just you can see Him pushing aside. They don't want to talk about it. But yet God has placed in your heart that burning desire to serve Him. That's amazing grace. It's amazing grace I could be here tonight. It is. Look where I could have been and would have been if it wasn't for God's grace. I'm sure I'd have been out in the world doing something terrible, you know, or sitting at home watching the television and seeing something filthy on there, reading something filthy in some filthy magazine, or talking filthy to someone, you know. But it's amazing grace that I'm right here. Oh my, I was able to put my feet under the table of God's Word and feed on the Word of God. Amazing grace. So wonderful. So I appreciate the Lord giving me the opportunity to be here tonight. Amen. Are you?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate it very much. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we've been blessed to be able to put our feet under the table by word, Lord, and dying on it. And Lord, to feed our hungry hearts. Lord, you give us inside something, Lord, that we would always be striving hunger and climb higher. You gave it to us, Lord. You gave us the very desire inside, Lord, to want to read the Word of God, to pray, and Lord, to talk about the Lord and think about your goodness. And Lord, and go through the day and sing and make melody in our heart to you, Lord. You give us that. And Father, that's amazing. It's simply amazing. Lord, when we look around and see what's going on throughout the land, there's so much hatred and envy and strife and desires for things of the world and gain. But Lord, amazing grace is placed in our hearts. A love, Lord, for your word. And even, Father, sometimes we make mistakes yet. Sometimes, Lord, we fall short. But Lord, your amazing grace is there. Lord, we can put it under the blood. And the amazing grace is there to have the desire to overcome it. Oh, it's all amazing grace, Lord. We appreciate you so very much. And just ask once more now that you'd go with us and keep us safe as we travel. And Lord, that amazing grace be there that we can gather back again Sunday if you should tarry. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. Appreciate you, Father. May we always show our love and appreciation to you by serving you, loving you, and obeying you, Lord. We thank you for everything now. We ask these things through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. May God richly bless you. And just think about the things you heard tonight. It was amazing grace I could hear. Amen. God bless you.